So we're going to take a look at an Agadita on Daf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, and this you'll find on page Shin Pei Dalet. And my goal is to get Emirz Hashem if we can to Shin Pei Zion, and then we'll see if we can go back to the beginning of Perek Eina Omdin, which is on Lamed Aleph. So we're on Lamed Beis. And the Gemara says the following, that there are three mikros which indicate that the gedolim, you know, the giants of our ancestors, sort of pointed kaviyochel, an accusing finger at the Ribono Shelolam, saying that you are sort of responsible for the people of Israel going off the derech. Like, for example, Moshe is going to say about the eagle that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you were guilty because you showered so much silver and gold on the people, and as a result it got to their head and then they worshipped the eagle. So let's open up the Gemara on Daf Lamed Beis for a second, just so that we can appreciate what we want to do here a little bit more. Oh, okay, my Gemara is actually... Okay, it's in the other room, so we don't have time for that. So let's just read the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Chama, Rabbi Chanina, El Molei Sholosh Mikros Halolu, if not for these three psukim, all of which seem to indicate that in some sense, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who planted the Yetzer Hara, the temptation, is if not for these two psukim, is nismotetu raglam shel sonei Yisrael. That's a euphemism for the Jewish people. We'd fall apart. You know, we'd have no chance in a hundred, in a million that we would be able to successfully survive the judgment. Chad dichsiv ato ari osa v'chad dichsiv hine kechomer biyad ayotzer kena tem biyad. So in all these three cases, Rashi says, "Meidin, we are testifying that God has the reins in His hands, l'saken yotzreinu, to." Rectify our Yetzer, you know, the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination that is causing us to sin, Lahasa Yetzer Amimenu. And this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu could do. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has it within his potential. And Nismotetu Raglenu B'Mishpat, in other words, if not for this principle, which appears three times, then we would lose in judgment. We would just simply... we'd be goners, as we would say. But now Yeshlanu Piskum Pesha, who, with a capital H, he Garam Lanu, he caused us to create. He created the Yetzer Hara, and he never put the Yetzer Hara in its place. He never controlled the Yetzer Hara. Now, Rav Soloveitchik wants to suggest a slightly different take on this, a very similar, but he based himself on the Gemara earlier about Eliyahu Hanavi lived during a generation in which the Baal, the worshippers of the idol Baal, were reigning, you know, they were taking over. You know, that was the in thing at that time. And Eliyahu turns to the Ribono Shelolam and he says, Ata asivosas libo machoranis. You are the one God who caused them to rebel against you and to worship idols. Because you allowed the intense Yetzer Hara, you know, it's so much part of the culture that we should worship the Baal, that how do you expect the Jewish people to rise above those influences? And the Gemara says that at the end of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu admitted, he confessed that Eliyahu's argument was correct. As the Pasuk says, Asher Hari Osi, God says about himself, Hari Osi, that I created the evil. What was the argument of Eliyahu HaNavi? Ata Hasibosas Liba Machoranit. this argument of Eliyahu, this defense claim, is something that will have an impact and reappear, so to speak, throughout the history of Klal Yisrael and the Golos. Although Eliyahu said it in relationship to his generation, it really applies to all generations. Because in all of the Golos, Klal Yisrael sinned because of the conditions and the reality of the existence that they encounter on a regular basis. In other words, the burden of Golos, the fear of not being, you know, not being like the goyim, you know, not, you know, when in Rome, doom is the Romans. The anxiety over making parnasa. All these environmental influences during the course of our long and bitter exile caused the people of Israel to sin. So just like at the time of Eliyahu, there was a bilbul adas. Everyone was so confused because look at the Rishayim, look at the prophets of Baal, look what glory they get, look what cover they get in the world, and then look at the tzaddikim, the nevi'ei ha'emes, you know, the true genuine prophets of God. They have to hide in the caves. They suffer so much. It's very difficult for the people of Israel to withstand that test and not to sin, looking around and seeing with their eyes what's going on. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives the okay to Eliyahu's argument, and he says, "Asher Hari Osi," that in other words, the conditions and the environment within which the Jewish people find themselves throughout the exile is so difficult, is so profound, that you can't expect them to overcome that test, to succeed in that test. And that is what we call a limud zchus on behalf of Klal Yisrael. And that's something that we learn from Eliyahu, and basically what Eliyahu said about his generation in terms of the influence of Baal is really just paradigmic of any Golos. You know, if you just abstract it, maybe in certain Golos we don't have the influence of Baal, but we have so many other pressures and so many other worries and anxieties, and the weight of exile is very heavy on our shoulders, and that's why we have no choice. You know, we don't have the ability to be Omei B'Nisayon, and Hashem accepts that defense argument. Now, we have a principle called freedom of choice. The Rambam dedicates almost an entire chapter in Hilchos Tshuva Perek Hey, Reshus L'Chol Adam Nesuna. A person has within his capability to decide whether he wants to go this way, turn towards the evil, or hopefully go the straight way towards being a tzaddik. And yet, paradoxically, we had it just a few days ago in the Parsha Shavua. We said, "Vayechbed Hashem eslev Paro." So, how could it be that God ki'ilu takes away the freedom of choice from Paro? There are many answers to this question, but the Ibn Ezra has his own take on it, and he thinks that HaKadosh Baruch Hu left Paro with freedom of choice, and Paro could have easily have decided to free the people of Israel. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up certain challenges, certain difficulties in the way of Paro. He planted in Paro's mind and his heart the belief that it would be better if we kept the people of Israel in Mitzrayim, that the enterprise of freeing the slaves would not be worth it for him. And these were the thoughts and the impressions that were placed by the Ribbono Shel Olam in the mind of Paro. Now, although Paro had freedom of choice, but nevertheless, sometimes the situation of life is so difficult, the challenges, that it's very difficult for a person to choose the right path. And that's what it means when the pasuk says, "Vayachbed Hashem eslev Paro." Vayachbed, miloshim kovet, heavy, weighty. There were weighty decisions here, and there was a lot of weight pushing Paro in the direction of Rishus, of being the evil king who would not let the people, the slaves, go. And in this light, perhaps we can explain a Gemara, a pasuk at the end of Tanakh. It says, "Amartem shav Omar Hashem Tzvokos is the last psukim in Tanakh. Omar Hashem Tzvokos liyom asher ani oses gula v'chamalti aleihem kasher yachmol ish al benoah ovid oso v'shavtem risa ma bein tzadik l'rosha ma bein evel okim l'asher lo avodo. So let's emphasize three words in these psukim, and those words are the first three words in the pasuk amartem shav. Eved Elokim. What does that mean? Shav means something that's valueless. Right? Like a shvuah shav. You know, there's nothing to justify the shvuah. The people of Israel got to the point where they said, Ein to'eles, it's shav, it's worthless to be a servant of God. Chas v'shalom, right? They look around, and they see, look, the Rishayim are riding on high. They have the great life, the good life. And Anachnu, we on the other hand, Mashrim Zedim, Gam Nivnu Osei Rishav, Gam Bochanu Elokim Vayim Lotu. In other words, there are situations where, although the masses of the people say, what's it worth at all? I mean, there's so much suffering, and the Rishayim are having it easy. They're living the good life. But there are always some Yirei Hashem, we call them Yechidei Skula, that are capable of overcoming this great challenge and succeeding in this test. And that's what the pasuk means when it says, Oz Nidbru Yirei Hashem Ish Al Re'ehu. They exercise their freedom of choice. They make the right decisions against all odds, against tremendous barriers, seeing what happens in the world. Ubechira zu, and this freedom of choice of the Yirei Hashem, that they succeed in withstanding and succeeding in the tests, even when they see the great success of the Rishoyim, nevertheless they are still dedicated to being tzaddikim, to righteous, to piety. They still are able to make the right decision, and they choose the good. And that's the highest level of Bechira. And therefore, Vayichtov Sefer Zikaron Lefanav L'Yirei Hashem L'Choshvei Shmo. Why does God want to see this testimony in which it's, so to speak, written in front of Hashem that the people who fear Him are able to succeed and remain loyal and steadfast in their piety and their religiosity? This has got to be recorded for all posterity in the presence of Almighty God. And the reason for that is because these individuals have overcome tremendous pressures, but they are steadfast and dedicated to their faith. And that has to be written down for all of eternity. Is afal pisha tamid yesh la'adam bechira chofshis. Even though a person is always guaranteed freedom of choice, he can always fulfill the will of God. Nevertheless, we can put a defense argument in favor of vindicating those who fail in those tests, because the conditions and the challenges are so great. That's called kaved. They're so heavy that it's so difficult to choose good. When you see what's going on in the world, that's what we call a defense argument, like Eliyahu's regarding the people of Israel. Vatasi bosa es libo machoranis. You, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by allowing the Yetzer to play such a powerful role, have more or less created this situation. And God agrees, and He says, "Asher hariosi," that I was the one who perpetrated evil by creating these situations and these circumstances, which are so, make it so difficult to overcome and to serve Hashem. The Gemara says, "Chad Dichsiv, one of the psukim is Hine kechomer biyada yotzer kein atem biyadi beis Yisrael. This is a different limud zchus. One limud zchus is, as we saw in Elio Anovi, the difficult challenges and the pressures by seeing Baal. The other is that God, you've created us, and we are like clay in the hands of a potter. And then there's another limud zchus in Yirmiyo Anovi, Adover Asher Hoya El Yirmiyo Me'es Hashem Leimor Kum V'aradita Beis Hayotzer V'shama Ashmiachas Dvorai Va'ered. Yirmiyo testifies that he did exactly as he was told. Beis Hayotzer V'hinu Asa Molocha Al Ha'avonim V'nishchas Hakli Asher Hu Asa B'chomer Biyad Hayotzer V'shav V'yaseu Kli Acher Kasher Yoshar V'eini Hayotzer Lasos V'yihi Dvar Hashem Elai Limor Hakiyotzer Hazelo Ucha Lasos Lachem Beis Yisrael Niyum Hashem Hine Kechomer Biyad Hayotzer Kein Atem Biyodai Beis Yisrael. V'rega adaver al goy v'al mamlocha lintosh v'lintos u'lahavid v'shov ha-goy ha-hu miroso asher dibarti elo v'nichamti al ha-ro'o asher chashafi lasoslo v'rega adaver al goy v'al mamlocha livnos lintoa v'oso ha-ro v'yenai livilti shma v'koli v'nichamti al ha-tova asher amarti lehetiv oso. We see clearly from these psukim that God is going to change the din, the gzar din, of a nation between one moment when they are doing tshuva, and the reverse is also the case if they don't do tshuva. So tzorich bir. He says the following: Mala kesher mehach parsha sol sugyan. Right, the Gemara is quoting these psukim in Yirmiyo, and we want to figure out how those psukim fit into this picture of limud zchus. V'nir levayr, the ayin b'Yirmiyo perek yutes. Until now, we've been studying the 18th chapter of Yirmiyo. Ko amar Hashem halach v'kanisa bakbuk yotzer chodesh. Right, there's always a symbolic message that the Novi has to act out a certain symbolism. So in these psukim, we're going to see that there are two mishalim that are given. There's Kalim v'yada yotzer, and that we saw in the previous perek. Right, he says v'yarada to beis ha-yotzer and v'yasa malacha. And then we have another set of kalim in the second mashal, which is in Perek Yutes, that's Kli Al Havanin. So in the first case, it is pottery. In the second case, it's stoneware. And then we have something which is called a Kli Cheres, which is pottery. And that is placed into a furnace. You know, the burning hot furnace is going to solidify the clay of the pot. So again, let's go over the two mishalim. The first mashal of Kalim v'yada yotzer is a reference to clay adama. These are earthenware kalim, and these are kalim shu keli al ha'av. Alavanim shalohu sakadai bekivsha. So one mashal is kli shalavanim, and the other is kli cheres. He says yeshnei sugei kelim. In Kabbalah's Tuma, there are two categories of kelim that receive and are contaminated. There's a kli shetef and a kli cheres. The difference between them is a kli cheres, once it contracts tuma, it cannot be expiated. You can't remove the tuma at all. You can only break it and then put the chips back into the oven. But then there's something called Kli Shatef, and it became Tomei. And then all you need is to take the Kli and put it into the mikveh. So the Kli Cheres has a very unique status in the constellation of Kalim as far as Tum is concerned, and the only thing you can do with the Kli Cheres is break it. And then he says the following. In the first mashal of Perek Yud Ches, Yirmiyah compares us to a Kli Adama, a Kli that's made out of dirt, of earth. And in Kli Adama, Im Nishchas HaKli, Efshal Etakno, Al Yidei Shemosif Mayim V'yosei Kli Chadosh. If this Kli gets destroyed, we can collect its pieces, and again, we can insert it into an oven and then make the kli as if it was brand new. As it says in the pasuk, "Nishchas kli asher hu asa b'chomer b'yad yotzer, v'shav v'yaseu kli acher." He makes it into a new kli. That's the mashal of Perek Yud Ches. But in Perek Yud Ches, we're talking about a bakbuk shu kli cheres she'ein lo takon elo b'shmira, a kli cheres you can never kasher, you can. All you have to do is destroy it. He says there are two ways to mahalchim in tshuva. He says some recognize their mistake and they rectify their ways. That tshuva is relatively easy. They hear the rebuke, the musar, and immediately they do tshuva. It's pretty smooth. They understand and they appreciate their sins, their mistakes, their iniquities, and they rectify. That tshuva we can call a kli adama tshuva. What does it mean? That the Creator makes a kli, a new kli, very easily. Right? What does he do? He forms a new kli from Adama, you know, from the dirt on the ground. No big deal. And the Goyim are able to do this. They do tshuva immediately. I mean, he has in mind Nineveh here, because immediately when Yonah shows up to Nineveh, they do tshuva, because that's the tshuva of Kli Adama. That's the easy tshuva. The tshuva that you can create a Kli Adama b'chik. But there's another category of tshuva. Yesh anashim shenimshalu l'kli cheres. And in order to do tshuva, in the case of a Kli Cheres, if you were nitma, then the only way is shvira. That's a more difficult type of tshuva. So the tara of Kli Cheres is only feasible through shvira, when you break the kli, this pottery, into its smaller parts, and then you can reconstruct the kli. And this second category of tumah, of kli cheres, is symbolic of a kind of tshuva through a very difficult path, a difficult, long and winding path. And we paskin that the Kli Cheres, if it's bolea, let's say for example kodshim and then becomes nosar, is any yotzim de dofil yolam. You're going to have to destroy the Kli. Because a Kli Cheres requires destruction whether or not it's tamei. He says, nimtza the Kli Cheres tanshri benim nitma HaKli Cheres Ubeinim Nivla Bo Kodshim. Right, there are two ways in which a Kli Cheres, two scenarios in which a Kli Cheres is going to require Shvir, you have to break it up. Either because it became Tomei, or if it has an absorption of Kodshim. And Klal Yisrael are compared to a Kli Cheres. Now where do we find that Klal Yisrael is compared to a Kli Cheres? I guess in these very psukim, I'm not sure. He says, "Al moshal ze myri yirmiya b'perek yutes." Now, Klal Yisrael had 48 neviim and 48 and 8 neviim and nevios, and even without all their castigation, their rebuke, lo chazu b'tshuva. But lahavdil goyim, as soon as they heard from Yonah that they have to do tshuva, that's exactly what they did. So how do we justify this difference that Adarabba, in the case of goyim, it's easier for them to do tshuva? He says, "Hasibalakach mishum sheklal Yisrael heim bebchinas klicheres mashen nivla betochu and yotzim idofio liolachay koshlem shah." Interesting. In other words, some people on the face of the earth, they have a very tough exterior, and everything rolls off them. That's typical of the goyim. In the case of a Jew, there's no tough exterior. Everything that they experience penetrates inside. And that's why the goyim, as opposed to the Jews, have it easy. They can do tshuva, whereas the Jews find it very difficult. The goyim are like the kli adama, that the creator of the kli, I don't know, it's called a potter maybe, can very easily create the kli. But in the case of the Jewish people, we have to find a mashal in the case of kli cheres. That's going to be the complicated tshuva that requires so much work. So on the one end, you might think, well, the goyim are getting off easy. You know, they have a relatively easy mashal here, the mashal of a kli adama. Klal Yisrael are getting a harsh response to tshuva. Are you really able to do tshuva? It requires breaking yourself down, you know, taking yourself apart and then reconstructing yourself piece by piece. Because in the case of Klal Yisrael, like a Kli Cheres, everything penetrates within. So if they're in the wrong atmosphere, then they're very much influenced by that. They have a certain sensitivity and exposure to influence. And if that be the case, it's going to be very difficult for them to do tshuva. The only way of doing tshuva in the case of a kli cheres is al yidei shvira, a total, complete, absolute tshuva, legamre, lios ki kli chadash. And vayomer Moshe Hashem, this is after the egel, he says, Im nama tzasi chen beinecha ado, right noi, yelech no again Hashem, bikir beinu, ki amche oref hu v'salach lavoneinu chatol seinu. So what is this ki amche oref? You know, Moshe is the defense attorney of Klal Yisrael, and then he seems to, you know, point the finger of accusation at them and tell them that they are an amche oref. And he says the following, that Moshe Rabbeinu's taina is that Hashem should join the people and be very close to them. The Shekhinah should accompany the people through the 40 years in the Midbar. And why? Because they're an Am Kshei Oref. That's paradoxical. Why should that justify that Moshe's insistence that Hashem should be close to them? And the answer is that even if they're involved and deeply involved in something like Avodah Zorah, nevertheless they're always bebechinas kli cheres, which means that whatever's around them, they're bolea, they swallow it up. But kasher bnei Yisrael yivalu b'tocham kedusha, if the people of Israel will take in kedusha, is the kedusha and yotzis mem liolam. That's what a kli cheres is. And a yotzim de dofya. Once the kli cheres absorbs something, you can't get it out. It's so porous. It penetrates throughout. And so too, if the kedusha will penetrate into the very souls of the Jews because they're like a kli cheres, then we can guarantee that will never be lost. Hakedusha ena yotzis me'em li'olam. So again, this description of Klal Yisrael could work in one of two ways, in polar opposites. It could be good news or it could be bad news. if they're exposed to Kedusha and the Kedusha penetrates to their hearts and souls, then that's good news. Because this comparison to Kli Cheres is any Yotze, but if on the other hand they're exposed to Tumah and negative forces and they imbibe that, they let it penetrate into their hearts and souls, then Ein lo takana l'shvira, then they're going to have to do the most profound and challenging tshuva. He says the following, take a look at Anshei Ninveh. I don't know, Rabos, are you aware of this, that after Ninveh did tshuva, they went back to their old ways? No, that's an interesting piece of history. He says, Anshei Ninveh asu tshuva, v'im kol zeh achakach bo melech Ashur mi Ninveh, v'hichriv v'seretz Yisrael. That this very same nation will now destroy the land of Israel. In the case of Klal Yisrael, by contrast, there are Kli Cheres that Kasha Nivla B'Tocho is Eidi Yotze B'Dei Dofi Oliola. So that's the great positive dimension of Klal Yisrael in their, in the analogy to Kli Cheres, the Kedusha, once it penetrates, can never be removed. Uksha osim tshuva tshuvasam havi tshuva gemura. They do a total tshuva. And therefore Moshe says, if Klal Yisrael is so great, and their tshuva is going to be so profound, then that should be a logical reason that you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, should accompany them rather than alienate yourself from them. Klal Yisrael, he says, if they become Tomei, can only be purified the way a Kli Cheres can, by Shvira. And that means Yisurim in the Nimshal. What is Yisurim for the Jew? It's Metayer him, it's Mala him, it uplifts him, it's a cathartic experience. Benirish Zeu Limud Hazchus Sheba Gemara. This concept is, he says the following: the Eitz Klal Yisrael Yisurim Malam Osam Metayer Osam Benirish Zeu Limud Zchus Gemara Hine Kachom Biad Yotzer Kain Atem Biad Biyadi Beis Yisrael, that Klal Yisrael are a Kli Cheres in the hands of the Potter and the Creator, and Bnei Yisrael have the midah of, that's what we're trying to answer, why Moshe Rabbeinu emphasizes that they're an Am Kshei Oref Akshonis L'Tov. Again, the reason for this Akshonus, and hopefully it's going to be used in the right way and not abused, is a result of the fact that Klal Yisrael, in terms of their spiritual makeup, are very sensitive. They're very vulnerable. You know, anything that goes in can make a profound impact. So they have an Akshonus L'Tov, and that will mean that because the Kedusha has penetrated into their souls, they will be very tough and take a very strong stand on anything that has to do with Tov. And the Akshonus, the stubbornness of Klal Yisrael, paradoxically, is a very, very positive force, because it's an Akshonus for Kedusha. And that Kedusha becomes part of the very essence of the people of Israel. He says, furthermore, you can defend the people of Israel because of this, in the light of this marshal to Kli Cheres, because we said that Shvira means Yisurim. And if the Jewish nation suffers Yisurim, that will purify them, and they'll be able to do tshuva. Okay, let's take a few minutes to go back to the beginning of the parak, which you should have on page Shin Pei. Tanu Rabbanan ein omdim lispala lo mitoch din el mitoch halacha psuka. Tanu Rabbanan ein omdim lispala lo mitoch atzlus el mitoch simcha shel mitzvah. So the Tosus on Daf Lamed Aleph Amid Aleph Dibur Maskel Rabbanon writes Lachein Ein Mispalim Mitoch Kalus Rosh Uschok El Mitoch Kovid Rosh VeSimcha Shal Mitzvah Kigon Esek B'Divrei Torah VeLachein Nagu Lomar Pesukei Dezimra VeAshrei Kodem Tefilah. So it means that according to Tosfos, the recitation of Psuki, the Zimra, and Ashrei before Tefillah is to fulfill this requirement, Lamod, Lefano b'Tefillah mitoch Simcha shel Mitzvah. And he says the following. Fundamentally, why is it Simcha shel Mitzvah? Why is it so important? Tefillah needs a matir. A person is not allowed to just simply go into the castle, the palace of the king of Adon Olamim, and start demanding that God, you know, fulfill all his needs. He needs a matir. The matir is Simcha Shel Mitzvah, which in this case means Esek B'Divrei Torah and Amiras P'sukei D'Zim. Now the Rif quotes Rav Simloy, which is Gemara later on. And he brings Rabbi Yossi also in the Gemara. And the Gemara says, Ki Amrinon. Just one second. So what's Gomrei Hal B'chol Yom? That's a reference to Psukei de Zimra. So we see that from Rabbi Simloy's drasha that you have to start with Shvach and only then you can go on to Bakasha. This also is a reflection of this principle that tefillah needs a matir, and Psukei de Zimra, which is Shvachu Shel Makom, that's a matir. So there are two ways of understanding the purpose of reciting Pesukei de Zimra. One is that it's Divrei Torah, and then it becomes Simcha Shel Mitzvah. And the other is that the Pesukei de Zimra are Shvachu Shel Makom. And it fits into Rav Simloy's requirement that we first start with Shvach, and then, and only then, can we continue with Tefillah, with Bakasha. Now again, if we're talking about studying Torah and Pesukei de Zimra, Pesukim in the Torah, in order to achieve Simcha Shel Mitzvah, then we're not talking about Shevach V'Odoya, but we're talking about Pesukei de Zimra as a Kiyum of Talmud Torah. And the Kiyum of Talmud Torah itself is a matir. I would disagree, frankly. I would say that the study of Torah brings a person to a state of Simcha Shel Mitzvah. And it's the Simcha Shel Mitzvah that I would say is the proper attitude towards tefillah, and that Simcha Shel Mitzvah is fulfilled and generated by Talmud Torah. So once through Talmud Torah I create Simcha Shel Mitzvah, I have myself a matir, and I'm ready to go ahead and daven. He says, look in the Rambam in Perek Zayin Milchus Tefillah. Shivchu Chachamim Mishakorez Miros. Miros is Psukin Zimra. Misefer Tilm B'chol Yom. Mitehil Adav. That's what we call Ashri Ad Sof HaSefer. Ukfar Nagu Likros Psukim Lifneim Elachreim. V'tiknu Bracha Lifneaz Miros. V'akach Mavarech Al Kriyat Shema. So what's he saying? That first we should recite Psukei de Zimra, and that's going to be opened up with a bracha, and it's going to end with a bracha, and then we get into Birchas Kriyat Shema, and we read Kriyat Shema. It seems that the Amiras Psukei de Zimra is applicable to Seder Tfilas HaYachid. Like the Rambam has two, you know, he organizes Seder Tfilas HaRavim of the Tzibur and Seder Tfilas HaYachid. So the Rambam seems to classify Psukei de Zimra under Seder Tefillas HaYochid. And the Rambam says, Seder Tefillas Kach Hu, B'shachar mashkim adam v'arach barachos elu. B'kori az miros, v'arach lufneim v'achreim v'kori ach kach shma. B'kori az miros, v'arach lufneim v'achreim v'kori ach kach shma. So again, if you're careful about it, the Rambam seems to assume that this idea of Kore's Miros, which is identical with Psukei Zimra, that applies to the case of a Yochid. But now we fast forward from Perek Zion to Perek Tes. There the Rambam is organizing and presenting the Tefillah of the Tzibur. And guess what? The Rambam completely omits Psukei Zimra. He writes, Seder Tefillah Satzibur Kachu, B'shachar Kol Ha'om Yoshvim U'shliach Tzibur Yorid Lifnei Ateva U'maskel V'yomer Kaddish Yachkach Omer Baruch U'maskel Paris Al Shema. The Ram completely omits mention of Psukei D'Zimra. So when does the Ram have Psukei D'Zimra? That's only in the Tefillah Yochid, the Seder Tefillah Yochid. But when it comes to the Tefillah Hatzibur, we begin with Baruch Hu. So it could be that all the Yechidim in the Tzibur have recited Psukei Zimra as Yechidim, and that's their requirement of Psukei Zimra. Now we start the Tefillah of the Tzibur with Baruch Hu. There's no need to have recited Psukei Zimra as a Tzibur. It's enough that the Yechidim on their own, each one has recited Psukei Zimra. So Psukei Zimra is not Shevach, because with Shevach there would be a Kiyum of Tzibur. Like, for example, Hallel is a good paradigm. And the Rambam holds that Psukei Zimra is Talmud Torah. It's Kriyas Kisvei HaKodesh, which is Talmud Torah. But there's no special din of reciting Psukei Zimra in front of the Tzibur. So again, if Psukei Zimra would have been, as we would have intuited it, as Shevach v'Hallel, then it could very well be that would be a Chovas Tzibur. But since it's only Talmud Torah, therefore it's a Chovas Yochid. And furthermore, he says that the Kiyum of Psukei Zimra is different than that of Hallel. In Psukei Zimra, it's Kriyas Psukim of Kisvei HaKodesh. In Hallel, the Kiyum is on Kriyas Parshas, but not on Psukim. Wow, this is a distinction that has to be analyzed very carefully. So again, in Psukei the Zimra, we're talking about Psukim. In Hallel and Shira, we're talking about Parshios, not individual Psukim, but rather Parshios. Okay, we'll stop here.